It's Monday, November 26th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast. This is show number 819, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our November special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $495.com's domain use promo code GEEK495, or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. It's great to be back after really having a show down when we were offline for Thanksgiving. Got a lot to talk about, a lot to share, a lot to cover. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, it's great to be back. Of course, we were here on Saturday for Saturday Morning Tech, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. If you're new to the show, I want to thank you for joining us. And I tell you what, this is a great time to join the show. We've got lots of great coverage, lots of great tech coverage coming up over the next month and a half. Matter of fact, it's going to be so much stuff, you're not going to be able to keep up with it all. It's going to be that intense. But got a regular show tonight to cover and talk about things that are being planned, we're going to do here in the near future. just finished up a Red Bull. Almost wish it was something else. It's been one of those afternoons. But, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Hana and all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. Of course, again, if you're new to the show, I definitely want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content on the website. Really, it's easy to get subscribed to. All you got to do is visit the website, sign up for the newsletter, subscribe to the show. That way you'll stay connected to the podcast at all times. And that newsletter guarantees that you will get the show notes. Basically, everything I'm going to cover in tonight's show goes out via email immediately following the show. That way you'll have it in your inbox first thing Tuesday morning. I record this show every Monday and Thursday at night here in Honolulu, and then it's released every Tuesday. Of course, if you want to reach out and contact the show, it's real easy to do so. You can do so via Twitter at Geek News. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, and our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. If you want to send a comment as well, you can do it via online, right on the website. Matter of fact, I think there's a message in there. We're going to have to go check that before the end of the show. So you can leave a comment right on the website, real easy, a voice comment, and we encourage you to do so. Of course, you can watch the show post-show if you don't stay up late and watch me Hawaii Standard Time. You can watch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, on iTunes, on the Apple TV, on almost any device. We've got a mobile version of the feed, high-def version of the feed, and, of course, a regular standard version of the feed. So there's multitudes of ways to get the video or just listen to the audio during your commute or at the gym or wherever you may be. However you subscribe, that's really up to you. But we want to thank you for being here and being part of the family. As always, the show is live streamed 24/7 post show. So the last couple of episodes are always up and online. You'll find information about that at geeknewscentral.com as well. We're part of the Tech Podcast Network, and I tell you, lots of great shows are starting to join TPN. We're up to like 145 or 150 shows. So it's kind of nice to see some new blood coming in. So definitely get over to techpodcast.com. And check all that out. Hey, this show tonight would not be possible in part without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. I tell you, they've taken care of us for a number of years, and we hope that you'll take care of them by picking up their different products and services. And it's real easy to do. All you got to do is come over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you're going to find all of my promo codes. There's a whole host of them there available for you to use. A code for every occasion, whether it be a .com renewal, a new .com purchase, whether it be a hosting account, whether it be an SSL certificate. Matter of fact, we've got a great deal, a multi-year code that you can use on a secure certificate for just $4.99 per year by using the promo code 499SSL1. So you'll definitely want to get in and use that code for your SSL certificates on your new purchases over there. And then again, a whole bevy of codes, and all of them, of course, lead back to GoDaddy.com. And as they say on your website, on their website, build your dream, start with a domain, pick up your own .com. And I picked one up on Saturday. I've been hearing about this new game on the Android. I don't have that phone with me. I've been playing with a LG Optimus G, fantastic phone, really, really incredible, really good phone. If any of you picked one of those up over the Thanksgiving holiday, let me know. I'd like to hear how you like it as well. But they got this new game that Google's come out with called Ingress. So I registered the domain, ingresspodcast.com. I have a feeling when I get my invite code, I'm probably going to go a little bit haywire with this, because it's kind of like a mix of geocaching, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to have a lot of fans. So on just the whim that I might do something with it, I ordered that order.com. So definitely get over to GoDaddy, check out all their products and services. Again, you can get 20% off your order, or you can get that Geek 495 code to get a .com for $4.95. And that's how I did my purchase. I ended up getting that, I think with tax, was $5.19 or something like that. But or the ICANN fee, I think it was $5.19. But a great way to get a great GoDaddy domain, hosting accounts, and so forth over at GoDaddy.com. Thanks, GoDaddy, for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Well, let me just talk just a little bit here. Thanksgiving holiday is all about Ohana. And many times when I'm doing the show and when I get into the mode, I guess the repeat month after month after month, I have a tendency, I think, from time to time to forget that this show really evolved from its very roots based upon me having a daily basically a twice weekly conversation with folks that we call our Ohana, part of our family of listeners. Back here on this machine that we use for the Saturn Ring Tech, where the Skype callers come in, it says right on it, Ohanasaurus at geeknewscentral.com. And the Ohanasaurus is nothing more where our family and friends and people that we talk with on a weekly basis come in and actually share their thoughts and ideas. And this is my chance to reach out to the Ohana. Many of you spent the weekend or the two or three days there with family, and maybe you heard many things that you didn't want to hear or got into arguments or typical things that go on with family reunions. Hopefully you were able to share some time with your family and eat and do what we do and watch a little football. It was pretty good here. I completely disconnected on basically that Thursday, Friday. I did a little work on Saturday, not too much, but it was all about family time. And because we don't have a huge extended family here in Hawaii, we spent it just with my wife and I and the kids. And it was really good to just basically have this extra downtime. I worked on a couple of little side projects. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I just want to remind all of you that this show really, its basis, that when we started in the beginning, it's always been about this connection between you and I. The tech stuff is fun, and we talk about a lot of tech, but we also take time at the beginning of the show to just kind of, share, chat, and get caught up. But I want to thank all of you for being subscribers and part of the Ohana here. It's really, you're not subscribers, you're part, I shouldn't even say that, you're just part of the Ohana. So thanks for being here and being part of the family, and I definitely appreciate it. So what did I do that I basically should not have never done? I allowed my wife to talk me into Thursday night at about 9 o'clock, maybe it was 8:30. We cleaned up the dishes, basically he was munching on the turkey and all the fixings that go along with it, and I was really, quite frankly, done. I had refrained from having any alcohol that day. Really was not, just basically had taken it real easy. And she says, they got a sale at Walmart. Let's go down to Walmart and see, because we got a Walmart like 3 miles down the hill. And I'm like, I'm not going to Walmart. And first of all, I don't go to Walmart very often. Those of you that are longtime listeners of the show know that I'm not a big fan of Walmart, largely because I think it kills local businesses. And we've talked about that in times past on this show. And I know I've, raised the ire of a few of you by not particularly liking Walmart too much. And yet it is what it is. So finally, I relented and went. And we went into this Walmart again for the first time in many, many months. And, I should have known. The parking lot was just like packed. I got a parking spot. I was actually pretty lucky. Someone was, there was just like this da-da moment, And so in we go, and I'm just looking at these people that they had these like waves, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, midnight, where they had sales starting at and there was these people like hoarded around these boxes of bubble wrap. And it was TVs, and it was just, all this stuff. And I'm not kidding. It looked like a war zone in Walmart. And I'm telling my wife, why are we here? Well, what it was she wanted to pick up a $99 basketball hoop that was normally $199. And so she said, not too many people are going to want that. So we went to the back, and there was none. And they told us, it was over in the garden center. And we went over to where the garden center was, and there was a line of people to get in the garden center. Long story short, the store didn't even stock the stupid item that they were supposed to have. So by now, it's like 10:15, and this next wave of mass of people are fighting. Literally, I mean, fist to cuff. I'm seeing fists being thrown on people trying to grab stuff. They had 6 Honolulu Police Department officers in the store. And I'm thinking, this is Hawaii. We're supposed to have like this aloha spirit. They're supposed to be, giving. And you go on down the road and people stop and let people into traffic when in other places they would just get run over, right? But then this was an all-out just brawl. It was crazy. And I just stood back and watched as I said, never again. Never, ever again am I going out on a Thursday. Now, she twists my arm to go Friday morning, and being a good husband, yes, dear, we went Friday morning, and this wasn't so bad. We went to the Navy Exchange because I'm retired military. I have the rights to still shop at the commissary, which is simply a grocery store, and the NEX, which is a little shopping mall. It's actually a big shopping mall. The advantage there is to pay no sales tax, and sometimes they have good deals. So she had made an agreement with the kids on a PlayStation. That was on the list, and also a Dyson vacuum cleaner. Now, we were in and out of the Navy Exchange in like 20 minutes, and this was at 6 a.m., and I was ecstatic. I'm like, yahoo, we got what we wanted. I said, okay, I want to go to Best Buy because they have these 3 terabyte hard drives. Let's go over there. So we drove over to Best Buy. I was in Best Buy, out of Best Buy in 15 minutes. I'm like, where's the crowds? At 6 a.m., you're thinking these stores are supposed to be packed. And I didn't think I was going to get any of the stuff that we were supposed to, that I had on my little list. If I get this 3 terabyte hard drive for $99, I'm cool. I'm happy. I got what I wanted. And my daughter's like, mall, mall, dad, mall, mall, mall. Let's go to the mall, mall. I'm like, no, let's not go to the mall. And my wife is like, give me this look. So we ended up at the mall. And anyway, it was good until 10 a.m. And then the masses showed up, and we got back here 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. The house, I collapsed. But one thing I did get is I had walked into Sears looking to get a toolbox because they had toolboxes on sale for $39. So when I walked into Walmart, they had these like whole rows of TVs that were like on these, it was supposed to be where people would come in and get them immediately and walk. It was one of those items, one of those grab items that it was supposed to be gone by midnight. I'm asking the lady, what are these? And she goes, these are TVs that no one grabbed last night. And I'm like, you didn't have a big crowd? She said, we did, but just the TVs didn't move. And so I'm looking and I'm like, there's this 50-inch Toshiba. And I'm saying, how much is that? She goes, that's $299. And I'm like, huh? $299 for a 50-inch TV? I said, how much is the normal price? She says $1,000. I'm kind of like looking at her sideways. So I get on my iPhone and I put the part number in, and sure enough, $9.99 or something is the normal price. We've been wanting to buy a flat screen TV for the garage so the kids could use that as a gaming area for really at least 3 years. And I've got a small 32-inch TV in my bedroom, and the kids have been playing the Xbox in there, and that's getting a little old. So I'm just like, okay, let's go ring that up. So my wife is like, what'd you get? Oh, I got a 50-inch TV. And she knows, she's freaking because she wasn't with me. How much did you spend? You know, I was like, $299. And immediately it all changed. Really? You can't believe. So we hooked up. I don't know. We went places where people weren't, and it worked out good. So yeah, I contributed to recovering the economy over the weekend. And stayed under budget, thank goodness. Not by much, but just enough. Got a student driver here at the household, so we did a little student driving Saturday and Sunday, and I'm getting more gray by the minute doing that. We did a Saturday morning tech with Rob Greenlee, and we had Rick Savoia from the Force Field podcast come in. Next Saturday, we're hoping to get a pretty big name in on Saturday morning tech. We'll let you know about that. On a sad note, the place that we've been going to church at here in Hawaii since we arrived, the building lost its roof. We had a thunderstorm here, and the roof collapsed. And so this is it's one of those things where they're now scrambling. Here in Hawaii, no one can buy land, so they rent buildings to do places. But it could have been ugly if it had been like 2 hours later. There'd have been like 800 people in this building. So anyway, that was thankful that nothing happened there. Other than that, just a RAM upgrade to the machine here in front of me. Got a good deal on Cyber Monday today, and that was the extent of my Thanksgiving weekend. I know that's probably more than you ever wanted to know, and you're saying, let's get into the tech, and we'll do that here in just a second. But hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all of you that are subscribed to the show. Thank you for being here and staying subscribed. We're going to have the 24 podcast on December 15th. I'm still almost regretting that I announced that, but I got to get planning, and I'll do that this week and get a schedule put together for that. So I hope you'll join me on December 15th for 24 hours live. All right, let me go ahead here and take care of our last piece of business before we get into the full content for tonight. And just want to take a second and thank our sponsor over at GoToMeeting, Citrix Bank. It's an absolutely fantastic application. It's a tool that I use on a regular basis. It's a tool now that is so prevalent that when I get meeting invites, I don't expect it to be anything but a GoToMeeting. As a matter of fact, I haven't been invited to a meeting at least in the last 2 years by other third parties that wasn't run by Citrix GoToMeeting. This is the default standard. It is the application that works. And, you know, with their new iPad integration, it just absolutely is incredible. You know, meeting in person, we express so much through raised eyebrows, a nod. These simple gestures really help us communicate effectively and get things done. You know, but if your team or the people you're meeting with is spread out in different locations, building that connection can really be difficult, especially when you're just picking up the phone and talking to someone. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can meet face to face with colleagues and clients no matter where they are. GoToMeeting takes a simple online meeting as a big step forward with the highest quality HD video conferencing. And it is. It's fantastic. It's an absolutely fantastic conferencing solution. It's so good that I recommend it to podcasters now to actually do two ways when you're actually doing a two-way basically video podcast, you know. But besides that, GoToMeeting it's easy, and it allows you to build trust because you're able to stay focused with the person you're working with. And with one click, you can share your screen to work with others on the same document. And really, it's easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, phone, or tablet. And now you can present again with your iPad. So GoToMeeting for me is an incredible tool, works fantastic. It's something that I cannot live up without, and it's something that is in my everlasting toolbox of tools that will basically allow me to continue to be successful in what I do. So what I want you to do is I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. Again, remember to use the promo code podcast. That gets us credits. And basically, GoToMeeting is believing. I want you guys to definitely check it out. Go over to GoToMeeting.com. Again, click the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here and supporting the show. It's greatly appreciated. All right, let's get into the tech content. That's what you all came for. And for those of you that are fast-forwarding, you can stop fast-forwarding at this point. And you can actually listen. And but again, thanks everyone for being part of the Ohana here and being part of our family of listeners. Okay, let me go into my first article. And I got a couple that I want to, couple things I want to share with you that I read on Business Insider. A lot of people are raving about the Google Fiber that's been launching in Kansas City. And a lot of folks have been going in and doing post-install interviews with folks. And I find some of these comments these people have made to be pretty incredible, including some of the, basically the reports are out on how the process is working. Unlike Time Warner and all these other companies that make you sit around for 4 or 5 hours waiting for them to show up, what really happens is Google comes in with their installers and they are there at your convenience, not their convenience. You tell them when to come and they come. It's a two-person process. One person pulls the fiber from the street to your house. There's another guy that comes at a second appointment to actually do the install, put in the TV modules and everything. And it sounds like it's pretty incredible. And, you know, what's really amazing is that they get this amazing 1 gig up, 1 gig down data pipe. And what you end up with is, you know, this incredible internet experience. Not only that, for an additional $50 a month, you get TV service. They give you a Nexus 7 tablet with a 2-year subscription. You know, they got all the DVR functionality, a 2 terabyte drive in the DVR. Now, the TV service is lacking a few services like HBO and some other networks, but that's going to build over time. It's nothing, you know, you think about what you give up. You really don't give up a lot. You can, you know, keep Dish if you want and just get the internet and wait for the TV stuff to catch up. I would just hope that at some point in the future that the folks at Google will roll this out nationwide. Now, I know that's a huge undertaking, but we're really third world citizens when it comes to broadband on the internet. I was reading a piece from a guy that lives in New York. And he's like, I live in the biggest city in America and I can only get 15 gigs down and a gig and a half up. You know, what is wrong with this picture? And, you know, the Time Warner folks in Kansas City are just crying like babies and they're freaking out about the arrival of Google Fiber. Well, it's because Google's delivering what all of us have been clamoring for years is more speed. And I tell you, you know, you can say what you can say about Google and in what they're doing, but you have just absolutely got to hand it to them and just say bravo, you know, for bringing a better. It's really going to change the dynamic. And imagine the amount of business, imagine the amount of investment that's going to go in that neighborhood because Google's there with that big high-speed broadband pipe. And then think about the commercial services that are going to jump on there. It's just incredible what's going to happen because people will start to move to that area specifically because they can get Google Fiber. And, you know, they're on paper, you know, things look pretty good from the service standpoint. Now, over time, we'll see how they do. But everyone so far is raving about this. And, you know, it's. I feel pretty lucky to have what I have here with 50 down and 3 up. You know, for years it was, you know, at best a meg and a half up, and at best maybe 5 to 6 megs down or gigs down. And you know, it's. But you're thinking about one. Excuse me, not even megs. I'm talking about megs, not gigs, because Google gives you 1 gig down, 1 gig up. We get 15 megs down. 3 megs up. Boy, oh boy, I wish I was 50 gigs. So anyway, it's a pretty incredible experience for these folks. So I'd love, if there's anybody in this audience that lives in this area, I want to hear about Google Fiber from you. I really do. Drop me an email here at the show, geeknews@gmail.com. We want to hear from you in a big, big way. Let's talk about Firefox here a little bit. It's being rumored that Firefox and the Mozilla folks are going to drop 64-bit support from Firefox. Well, at the same time, they're launching the latest edition of Firefox 18 with, faster JavaScript and Retina support. Now, one thing I noticed today with Firefox is I accidentally started loading multiple tabs again. I usually use Chrome because it handles multiple tabs better. But when I got up to about 15 tabs of content tonight on Firefox, it was about done. But here I've got maybe 25 open with Chrome, and it's still cooking away, not having any issues. You know, so Firefox still has fundamentally some big issues from a execution standpoint in memory management. So I don't know really where the deal is and why they're having so much trouble. But this update to Firefox 18 is supposed to, again, give us better, faster JavaScript and Retina support. So we'll see how this does. And Alan had written a post up on this. We'll have this. We'll keep following Firefox 18. I'll probably get the update tonight because I'm on the beta. I run the beta continuously on Firefox to see how it's done. Hey, one thing I will say, and I want to thank all of you, because you'll notice on the Geek News Central website, I have a link here to B&H. Basically, I do a lot of shopping, use their products a lot in the past. And I also put up a Black Friday announcement on B&H on the website the other day. And I just checked the affiliates account on that. Thank you. You guys are, keep buying product from B&H through that link. That's going to go a long way in supporting the show. Matter of fact, that I had a better weekend than maybe an entire month's worth of insiders coming in and supporting the show. So it's greatly appreciated for those of you that actually bought product through B&H over the weekend using my links on my website. It really helped. So let me go ahead here and switch topics. There's another article written up on Geek News Central already. It was written by Jen on using technology in a classroom, so specifically Skype, on some experiments that teachers are doing. And I'll leave this up for you guys to read. Of course, it's on the website already. But it talks about using Skype to help students better understand geography and how people, basically looking at different cultural issues and different areas and so forth. So again, the link will be up in the show notes on this. Definitely want to check it out. But talks about how two teachers use Skype to really find an interesting way to get students engaged. And I applaud this type of use of technology. And specifically this school, who basically every student gets an iPad. If you think about that, that's big. It really, really is. And it, of course, it is a private school, but they're definitely onto something in their execution and how they're trying to teach kids these days using technology. All right, you know, one thing that I've been playing with here, and I don't have it, I've got it in my bag, is I've been playing with a Virgin mobile MiFi device. And specifically, it's running on Sprint's 3G and 4G networks. And so far, it hasn't been too bad. It's kind of what I expected it from a performance standpoint. But one thing that's happening is because Verizon is turning on so much 4G or LTE right now, they're starting to find that they're going to very soon have an excess of 3G, pops across the country. So it appears that Verizon may be getting serious about prepaid. So this may be a means for them to find a use for basically its 3G networks. They're basically starting to be freed up as people move on to LTE. So their 3G network is basically across the entire map. It's almost solid. You can get it almost anywhere. So we'll see if they use this as an opportunity to maybe bring on some third-party resellers to resell this excess band with on 3G. And some of the experiments that they've been running recently allows people to have a little extra bandwidth if they agree to be on 3G. You know, in all reality, I've spent a lot of time on a 3G network with Sprint and with Verizon. And so long as you are, and this is where it's really important to talk about, if you're not pulling video down, if you're just doing email, web surfing, if you're doing basically non-video type stuff, 3G, it works pretty good. Now, and that's, I'm not talking about uploading. I'm not talking about, you know, streaming video, anything like that. But it works pretty well. And the reason is because, you know, I travel all over the country and usually the hotel internet is not that good. And many times I end up on a wireless card. So I think it's an interesting move by Verizon to basically reutilize, you know, existing hardware that they have spread out throughout the United States. But their LTE rollout is pretty incredible. So they're turning on more cities and they expect to be done sometime next year with their LTE rollout. So that's huge. An interesting article that I found today, and the one that I read all the way through, is an article over on GigaOm talking about going electric. And you know, we've been shopping here for a new car for my wife. She is set on a specific type of vehicle. I'm trying to encourage her to go the other, to a, you know, a hybrid or maybe even electric vehicle. But one of the writers over at GigaOm, Kevin Toffel, basically bought a 2013 Chevy Volt. Now, something unique is he has 41 solar panels on his home, and they generate more electricity than they expected with that. And every year, every month, they do and usually have an excess of anywhere from 200 to 1,000 kilowatts. Now, that's huge. That's a huge excess from a energy creation standpoint. They on average use about 700 to 1,000 kilowatts a month is what they actually use in their home. But now that they're going to have this new Chevy Volt, they're really getting the most out of their panels, because what they're going to do is be charging their car every night and using up some of this excess electricity that they've been generating through their solar panels. And while I don't know how much his cost per kilowatt is there, it has to be a heck of a lot lower than our 36 cents here. They're just going to win-win. It's going to be huge. So I think for those of you that have solar already, and if you're creating excess energy at this point, you know, if you think about how much money you're spending on gas for your car, and I know for my gas bill every month, at least $400 to $500. That's how much that's what I pay to fill up the two vehicles here. It really makes sense if you have the ability to, you know, charge it at your home and use this excess energy you basically are generating through your solar system. It's an absolutely wise investment. Even though the vehicle is more expensive, you know, the vehicle, if you look at their cost, they were about $41,000. Now, they rented the vehicle, and anyone that leases vehicles, I don't think that's super smart. But if they had not leased it, they would have been able to get the $7,500 federal tax credit, which would have brought it down to, let's see, $41,900, basically $42,000. So, you know, it had been $30,000+, but they're not putting any gas in this thing. And they got the excess power being generated on their home. You know, if you think about it, if your average electricity bill is a couple hundred bucks, you know, that's $200 right there towards your, you know, if you just, you know, do the math in your head, it's just $200 closer to covering your payment for that vehicle. It makes a lot of sense. It really, really does. And I think that's, you know, for those of you that are at that point in that juncture in your life where you can afford to have 41 solar panels on your home, you know, this just financially means that you're just going to continue to get ahead. You know, that bill that you've had every month for the electric company is essentially zeroed out. And, you know, you take that same amount of money. If I could zero out my electricity bill, it's a complete car payment because I'm paying anywhere between $360 and well over $400 a month for my electricity here in Hawaii because of our high kilowatt per hour cost. So, boy, you know, in Hawaii is getting ready to cancel their subsidy for solar installs, which is going to impact quite a bit the business here. But the solar is getting better, more efficient. So, you know, I think it's this double whammy makes a lot of sense. It really does, especially if you're doing excess energy. And that's the key. If you're not creating excess, it doesn't make a lot of sense to, because then you're not going to see the extra benefit. But also you got to look at the cost of the panels. He's got 41 panels. That's a lot. But in last year, he created 6,200 kilowatts of excess electricity. And I'm thinking about that myself. I'm doing, all right, let's take 6,200 and multiply that by 36 cents. And that's $2,200 of excess electricity. And if you divide that by 12, and that's 100, at least here in Hawaii, that's $186. So for me, I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's probably half a car payment. You do a down payment, you know, that's half a car payment. It makes a lot of sense. So anyway, a good thing to put your brain to in running numbers, if you're considering putting solar on, combine that with a smart vehicle. I think it really starts to pay huge, huge dividends, especially if it's an electric car. Maybe I'll be the one driving a Chevy or a Ford hybrid or something like that. But it definitely is set me back in my seat a little bit when I kind of thought about that aspect. I should talk about this when I was talking about Verizon. Actually, I thought I had it lined up together, but Sprint is launching 11 new LTE markets, and it's maintaining a small city focus. So if you live in Anderson, Indiana, and I know where Anderson is. Anderson's a pretty small town. If you live in Anderson, Indiana, Clark County, Virginia, Jefferson County, West Virginia, Harrisburg, Carlisle, and Hershey, Pennsylvania, Hagerstown, Maryland, Martinsburg, West Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Muncie, Indiana, another small town, Peabody, Massachusetts, Salina, Kansas, Shenandoah County, Virginia, South Bend in Mishawaka, Indiana, and Winchester, Virginia, y'all are getting Sprint LTE. So congratulations if you live in one of those small towns. And it just makes you kind of go, And these are pretty small, probably under 50,000 people, most of those cities. So anyways, Sprint launching in 11 new LTE markets. Again, small towns to begin with. All right, let's talk about Amazon Cyber Monday. Did you know that Amazon, not only did they sell stuff cheap today, they also borrowed $3 billion. Amazon raised $3 billion today on selling bonds for the first time in nearly 15 years. The company said in an SEC filing that it will use the proceeds from the debt offering for general corporate purposes, which may include repayment of debt, debt to pay debt, repurpose of outstanding shares of common stocks, acquisitions, investments, working capital, investments in subsidiaries, and capital expenditures. Well, I'm going to tell you, Amazon Prime, just recently, because I'm getting ready for CES, I've had to order, when I opened up, we got everything out of the overhead of the house this weekend. I hooked up all the gear, made sure it was working, make sure everything was plugged in, make sure the cable sets were right, you know, basically doing an inventory. Because when we come back from CES, we don't do any inventory, just put the stuff away. And I deducted that the mixer box that I have used 2 years in a row was damaged beyond repair. There was nothing I could do to fix it. I couldn't re-rivet it. The hinges were all jacked. And luckily, it held together enough where two rivets were still holding together that we didn't damage the very expensive mixer. So I become an Amazon Prime member earlier this year. And one of the things that is incredible about Amazon Prime and living in Hawaii is that I always search out the Prime deals. So I went searching for this. I had to find a replacement box, found the model I wanted, went on Amazon, and there was like five vendors that had them. Only one of them was a Prime member. And so I basically it was about $7 higher in price from a Prime cost perspective, but no shipping. No cost, no charge for shipping. And I know that if I ship that box empty from here back to the mainland. It's like a $60 bill at least. So I don't know how they're handling these big items coming to Hawaii and how they're making money and so forth. But they say it's going to be here on Wednesday. But I have been hardcore using Prime a lot lately and buying, you know, these small items I had to have for replacements. And it's really saved me a huge amount of money. I know for most of you that live in the lower 48, Prime is not necessarily that big of a deal because shipping to you has been relatively inexpensive to begin with. But if you're buying stuff on Amazon on a regular basis, get that Prime membership. It's going to save you a lot of money. I would estimate, at a minimum, I've saved $1,000 in shipping costs to Hawaii this year by buying stuff on Prime. Matter of fact, I won't buy from a vendor unless they are Prime. I'll look and look and look and look. Now, I think I had to pay for one item. The shipping on it was reasonable, like $12. Couldn't find it anywhere else. But, you know, Amazon, I think, is really onto something with their Prime, raising money. They had great deals. It just, their ecosystem works. I think right now Amazon's like my number one shopping location for just stuff. I don't even very often just Google stuff anymore. I just go to Amazon straight and look for it. So I don't know how many of you else are doing that as well. But you have to look through the layers and it takes time, but it'll save you money in the long run. All right, switching gears here off of the holiday shopping, iPhone 5 costs may be eating Apple's gross margins. And there's a lot of discussion about how long can Apple maintain the high margin it has commanded on devices like the iPhone? And there's some analysts that are basically saying that not much longer, because there's becoming a lot more pressure on Apple, especially with basically the Google phones with Android making a major impact here. And you know, Apple's going to have to sell more devices in order to maintain earnings if they start narrowing their margins up a little bit. They're saying already that the iPhone 5, the margins are tighter than what they were. And it's basically causing them to have less gross profit at the end. But here's the deal. You know, if just like playing with this LG Optimus G phone, side by side, I'm going to tell you, it'll put the iPhone 5 to a pretty good challenge from a screen quality and everything. So we'll see. But it'd be nice to see some of the prices of Apple phones come down over time. All right, are you a Twitter user? Well, it's being reported that here in the very near future, you're going to be able to download your entire archive, supposedly by the end of the year. So what does that mean? How are you going to export it? How are you going to be able to get it? It's a good question. I think we'll see what format they're going to make it available in. But they're saying before the end of the year, we're going to be able to download all of our tweets. And so that's pretty good. And, you know, being able to do that, export that data. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but at least you can get it out of their ecosystem. I think that's the most important thing. All right, I talked about it a little bit on Saturday on the Saturday Morning Tech about this gal in Texas, a sophomore at a high school, basically refusing to wear an RFID tracking tag that she basically was used as identification and attendance and type, basically RFID tag, tracked them on campus, made sure their butts were in the seats and so forth. The school was going to suspend her and make her go to another school. A judge stepped in, so they can't do that. But it appears that Anonymous was not real happy with this school, and they supposedly took down this website of the school that was making this RFID tag wearing compulsory for students, and they brought it back up, and then they were able to get it back down again. But anyway, Anonymous says that they hacked it and then allowed it to be restored, which is kind of an interesting comment. But Anonymous getting in on the act with this Texas school that, again, was making RFID tag wearing compulsory. And had a pretty good discussion about it on Saturday Morning Tech. You'll want to go in and listen to it and with Rob and I and Rick discussing that. Or this morning, Google apparently was going to be buying a company called ICOA, a Wi-Fi hotspot provider. There's a big press release out. $400 million purchase. Only this story was fake. This press release that was released by PR Web, and disclaimer here, I use PR Web for releasing all of our press releases at Raw Voice. It's not cheap. It's a good way to get all of our content out to the markets that we need to get it out, and we want to make an announcement. But apparently, somehow, some person, Aruba, was able to get this press release put out on a Monday following the holidays, and the stock of this company went up. And apparently, this guy was probably probably dumped the stock, probably had a bunch of money in the penny stock. And as soon as it went up, he probably waited until it got to its peak and unloaded it and make a bunch of money. But I'm sure the SEC will be looking into this. But the folks over Ars Tech has a great article about, actually not Ars Tech, who's the company that has the write-up? Oh, the folks over at Search Engine Land has a discussion about some of the shady stuff that's come out of PR Web. It actually kind of made my eyeballs open up a little bit. And I have a rep over there that's been trying to get us, we pay a yearly fee for do really so many press releases a year. And I'm going to link this up and send this to my my rep over there. And I'm going to say, hey, if you're allowing this type of crap to be sent over your system, you know, what's this doing to the value? It's driving the value of my press releases that I'm paying for to be distributed through them. And this is a pretty damning article by Search Engine Land talking about a press release that was done by, now, okay, here's a legitimate, website, in my opinion, your-best-pills-online.com probably should not be a site that would be authorized to send out a press release about Viagra. So all the company was doing there is they're just trying to use PR Web as a way to distribute a press release to build PageRank. And because they've got all these, you know, articles spread out in different, you know, well-respected websites. And, you know, but I've never really thought of PR Web as a way to build PageRank. And actually, it's kind of a smart thing to do for these groups. But, you know, I want to have my press releases be, you know, to be carried by sites that we respect and follow, and they have been. So I guess the good and the bad comes in this, but I'm definitely going to be using this with my sales rep at PR Web to say, hey, you guys are allowing this stuff to go through your system. How long is it before, you know, news organizations start devaluing the amount of, you know, devaluing the content coming from you guys? Now, PR Web said in a press release that we have learned that the ICOA announcement was fraudulent. The release was not issued or authorized by ICOA. And Vocus is the parent company. Vocus reviews all press releases and follows an internal process designed to maintain the integrity of the releases we send out every day. They go on to say, even with reasonable safeguards, identity theft occurs on occasions across all of the major news wires. We have removed the fraudulent release and turned the matter over to the proper authorities for further investigation. Now, here's the deal. It's not hard to set up an account on PR Web. You go to PR Web, put your email, your account information in. You spend the money, you deposit the money for your press release, you write it, and it goes through the review process. And I don't think this would be hard to push through, but anytime you would think that they would at least on this type of a press release, a $400 million acquisition, that there'd have been some due diligence by the folks at PR Web. But this fooled the press in a big, big way. And the press, in going back and looking at the press release, folks said this only had two paragraphs. There was no quotes from any of the company officials. So there should have been some red flags there on the actual makeup of the press release. But definitely, if you do business with PR Web, it's something that you'll want to ask your rep next time they come looking for money. All right, over on Tech Dirt, new study, mega upload shutdown may have hurt box office for smaller movies. There's a new study out from Christian Perquet of the Munich School of Management and Jorgs Clausen from the Copenhagen Business School that looks at the shutdown and mega upload to see if they can determine what impact it had on the box office for various movies. And they basically said that for blockbuster films was no major issue. But there was an impact, less box office sales for smaller movies that were released. So this may be an indication here that people would, you know, basically share that and they'd get, say, I want to go see this. So it is kind of an interesting move here. And they're gonna look at this a little closer. But they feel, again, that the shutdown of Mega Upload may have hurt box office for smaller movies. So kind of an interesting report. All right. How many of you, you know, been following what's going on with drones and everything else that the Department of Defense has been putting out? You know, many countries now have drones. But apparently there's been a directive put out by the Pentagon where they say they want to make it perfectly clear that every time one of its flying robots releases its lethal payload, its result is a decision made by an accountable human being in a lawful chain of command. And basically, they put in policies that basically said that these drones cannot be allowed to just run automatically or a semi-autonomous. And this is all about Terminator time, you know, talking about, you know, when the machines turned on us. So there's going to always be positive control on weapon releases when it comes to drones. And the Pentagon wants to make that very clear. So it's kind of an interesting policy statement coming out by the Pentagon. And they say that the hardware and software controlling a deadly robot needs to come equipped with safeties, anti-tamper mechanisms, and information assurance. So that's kind of an interesting a statement there. You know, there's a lot of checks and balances that go on, I know, in the DoD before a trigger is pulled on a weapons release. And people that are authorized to do that have had a lot of training, and it's just not willy-nilly. So it's good to see that the DoD has come out with that announcement. Switching gears here, the Illinois anti-eavesdropping law was cut down slightly. Basically, while this law is now going to protect the average citizen from eavesdropping, and basically what it was is the Supreme Court blocks the Illinois law against recording police. So basically, you can now legally, once again, in the state of Illinois, just go ahead and record police in the line of duty, and you're not going to, you can't be supposed to be arrested or whatever the rules were going to be put in place on this new law. So, it says also put in, okay, yeah. So it was also, basically, there was two parts to it. It was protecting the average citizen from eavesdropping. And it was also had put in place prohibitions against recording the police, and this was all struck down by the Supreme Court. So very, very, that's a very good decision on that part, so that folks aren't going to be able to, basically, you're going to be able to be eavesdropped on, but you can record the police. It's kind of like there was two parts to that bill. One that was one was trying to protect us and also protect police officers from recording. And it's just like it's been flip-flop here, a little seesaw action going on. So, yes, you can now secretly record the police in the state of Illinois. But at the same time, you don't have as much protection over eavesdropping. All right, hotel room burglars exploit critical flaw in electronic door locks. We've talked about this in the past. But apparently a Houston-based Hyatt was one of a handful of hotels in Texas targeted by digital tools. Basically, crooks that effortlessly open electronic door locks in a matter of seconds. In September, a gal that worked an IT service consultant for Dell basically returned to her hotel room and found her Toshiba laptop stolen, specifically because they feel that the people were able to get in the room with that that hack that's on the street. So apparently thieves are making use of that hack to go in and steal stuff. So don't leave. If you have one of those type of locks in your hotel room, you'll definitely, when you travel, you definitely want to remove every value when you go out. All right, over the weekend, iOS devices dominate the mobile shopping stats. iOS made up 77% of devices that were out there doing online shopping. Android was at 21%. So that's pretty interesting move there. More people were shopping on iPhones than they were on Androids. Have no idea why that was such a huge disparity. Kindle was 1%, Nook was 1%, and that's all I can see on that pie chart. That's how narrow it was broke down. Oh, other was 0.49%. So definitely a large number of folks were shopping on iOS devices. Black Friday sales online exceeded $1 billion. So definitely a bunch of us dumped money into the economy over the weekend. A little bit on the science side. We've been talking a while about Antarctica's Lake Vida. And basically, they pulled out samples, and they've got a little bit of a surprise in that the carbon dating that they've been able to check so far is that the lake has seen carbon exchange, aka carbon exchange with the outside world, fewer years than what people thought it would have been, but still. This lake has been covered by more than 50 feet of ice and resides in East Antarctica. And the core samples that they pulled out were rich in bacterial life. And so anyway, they're pretty surprised by the results. And it just goes to show you that what they thought would have been isolated, and it wasn't necessarily so much isolated. The lake is definitely getting carbon exchange, probably from a stream or from some sort of, independent water source. Okay, switching gears here. It's been a year since Curiosity's taken off. It's facing a potential a planet-wide dust storm right now. So they're a little bit worried about it, but they're not too much concerned. Of course, the Curiosity's been on the planet. It's been busy blasting rocks and doing all kinds of stuff. Curiosity is now moving across the surface of Mars, taking soil samples and searching for rocks to drill for more samples. And they're on their way to the mountains. So Curiosity's continuing to move forward. And this dust storm, NASA's watching it, and we'll see what happens with this over the next couple of weeks. But they feel it could develop into a planet-wide dust storm. SpaceX founder Elon Musk wants to start a Mars colony. He figures he can get 80,000 people to Mars at $500,000 a person. He wants to send at least 10 people to Mars within the next 20 years to form the first colony on Mars. Kind of an interesting a goal. But anyway, do you think we can do that? Think we can colonize Mars with people in less than 20 years? But he feels, based on the price to lift people to Mars, it would cost about $500,000 a person. And based on current economic growth and so forth, he feels that there'd be about 80,000 people that could potentially afford the $500,000 ticket to go to Mars. So, if people can afford $500,000 to go to Mars, they're not going. They're staying here. They're enjoying the fruits of their labor, and they're not going there because, it's you just leave your money at home and you go to Mars, right? Or you give it all to him to get you there. So anyway, SpaceX is aiming its sights towards Mars, and they're working on plans. Would you go if you had the money? All right, the 2014 Ford Fiesta come equipped with My Ford Touch. So again, if you're looking for a new car, Ford Fiesta might be in your... Of course, it may not be at the top of your list, depending on your age bracket, but Microsoft and Ford are giving us a reason to take a second look at the Fiesta, again, announcing that it will come equipped with My Ford Touch, and it's going to have the same exact My Ford Touch as seen in other vehicles that make use of a new 6.5-inch screen, so that's pretty exciting for those. That's a lower-end car, and glad to see that this is happening. We're going to see all these digital devices in all these vehicles before too long. How many of you have to carry two phones, a work phone and a personal phone? say next year, consumers may be able to buy a smartphone that comes with either native hypervisor software or use an app allowing them to run two interfaces on the phone, one for personal use, one for work. So they know that there's an issue out there at, you know, people are bringing their own devices to work. A lot of IT issues with that. But apparently, with the cores of the phones getting more powerful, that they'll be able to run one kernel, basically running the, you know, one section of the phone and another kernel running the other part. So pretty cool stuff. And ARM is working with AMD to develop the new x86 processors that will be optimized for this. So we'll see where this goes in the coming months or next year. All right, federal officials took down 132 websites in Cyber Monday crackdown. A team of worldwide law enforcement agencies were able to shut down sites that were selling everything from professional sports jerseys, DVD sets, and a variety of clothing to jewelry and luxury goods. So 132 sites taken offline today by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security, in other words, ICE, took the sites down. So 132 less sites to buy counterfeit goods on. Is Intel planning to kill enthusiast PCs? Check this out. This is huge. How many of you build your own machines? I haven't done it in a while, but I used to only build my own machines. But according to a longtime hardware journalist, Intel's next generation of x86 CPUs, Broadwell, will not come in a package having pins. I said, what? Apparently, manufacturers will have to solder them into the motherboards. So in other words, they're going to have basically just wires. There's that, you know, there's two ways that a that microchips can come with. You know, basically they fit into a socket, so they're hard pins, or they actually are kind of like loose pins and they fit into the socket, and then you have to solder the backside of the motherboard to hold them in. And so this could be huge. If Intel doesn't change their plans, the future pasture of enthusiasts looking to go to ARM will definitely increase, because they're going to need to get, you know, chips with pins on them. Or solderless types, you know, solderless type chips. So don't know what the full reason for it is. I wonder if it's a heat issue or something. Who knows? But this is pretty unheard of, to have a line of Intel chips that were not released with pins, but yet to have solder sockets. So that's quite a development there. Windows 8 PC still throttled by crapware. Windows 8 Metro UI presents a clean and spiffy new interface, but one of the operating system's oldest and most hated problems, crapware, still lurks below the surface. And a recent Acer Expire 7600U that cost $1,900 was shipped with over 50 pieces of OEM and third-party software pre-installed, much of which simply offer trials and paid services. Doesn't just annoy the heck out of you? Get a brand new machine that's loaded with all that junk. Hey, remember we talked earlier this year about West Virginia Internet and how they got a huge amount of money and these Cisco routers to go into libraries that maybe had one computer and so forth? Well, apparently, West Virginia paid $512,000 in federal stimulus funds to internet consultants that don't seem like they did very much work. The highest paid one was a guy by the name of Perry Rios. He was paid $196 an hour for a total of $731,000 through the end of last month. And this guy doesn't even live in West Virginia. He lives in Colorado. He made $512,000 in 2011 and is on track to earn another $329,000 this year. So huge amounts of money being made by these consultants. Two network engineers were paid $252,000 and $143,000 under $150 an hour contract. Two in-state project managers were paid $99,000 and $97,000 respectively under a $250 hour contract. The five consultants were paid $1.3 million in total. All the payroll information based on the Freedom of Information Act. This was all from federal stimulus money. You know, where do I get some of that? Hey, how do I sign up for some of that stimulus money? Who do I get to consult for $250 an hour? You know, okay, let's $196 an hour. So let's do the math on that. This guy got paid $731,770. Let's divide that by 196. So this guy put in 3,733 hours. Now I know that on an average quarter, this is insane. On an average, okay, so when you work a 40-hour work week, your productivity, what they figure is about 6.5 hours is what an employer gets out of you in productivity, okay? That's about the most you're going to get on a daily basis if you're really heavily involved. So this guy billed 3,733 hours. So if we divide that by 6.5, this guy essentially worked 574 man days at 6.5 hours a day. So this guy must have been putting in some massive hours if he billed $731,000 for $196 an hour. He must have been putting in 15, 16-hour days every day to earn this kind of money. But yet, he lives in Colorado. Interesting. Makes you go, doesn't it? I tell you, this stinks of fraud and corruption in a big, big way. You know, West Virginia received $126.3 million in federal stimulus money to upgrade its broadband internet work, getting routers and fiber optic cable to more than 1,000 public institutions, including schools, libraries, state agencies, and health centers. Now, this guy, Rios, has a state voicemail and email address, but did not respond to calls and emails from the newspaper requesting comments. Now, here's the final kick in the butt. This guy's job function seem to be largely mirrored by another project manager, Nick Patel, already working in a state technology office. And I bet you Nick Patel is probably getting paid state wages. He probably makes a cool $50,000, while this other guy made $731,000 this year. There's something that smells really bad coming out of West Virginia. You know, $123 million. It's just amazing. There's got to be fraud, waste, and abuse here. There has to be, in my opinion. After all, if they put in a $22,000 router using federal stimulus money to into libraries with less than one or two computers, when they could have spent $100 or less than $500 for a great router, yet they put $22,000 routers in libraries having two computers. So what an amazing bureaucracy. It's just incredible. It really, really is. All right, let's switch topics. Oh, I'm going to save this to the very end. I've got a good one to share with you at the end of the show, folks. Doxy One scanner begins shipping, brings on the Go scanners for $149. So if you're looking for a scanner that you can use on the go, the folks at Doxy has one, Doxy One. So right up by the folks at Engadgets, pretty nice. Netflix is open sourced a tool for making cloud services play nice. So if you're a developer, you want to look at this Hystrix library. And this is designed to control the interactions between distributed services. So, you know, this is really complex stuff. But some of you out there that do this kind of stuff would definitely have fun with this over a weekend project. So this open source stuff available from the folks at Netflix. Hey, how many of you ski? How many of you are skiing in avalanche danger zones? Well, for about $1,300, you can have an airbag system that is operated by a ripcord that when you pull it, this thing inflates and supposedly is going to help you during an avalanche. I don't know if this has been live tested or not, but I think I would be just a little bit leery of using this system. But it is available. And, you know, going down a, you know, for those of you that are listening, what this looks like is this guy standing with a helmet on, with a backpack, and it looks like he's got, you know, basically two inflated oblong balloons on his back. So I think it would be a pretty crazy ride, to say the least. But anyway, that is what that is what is available if you want to get an airbag for your skiing purposes. Okay. All right. Switching gears here. Kangaroo Bottle carries your essentials for you. This is over on ogizmo.com. How many times have you had a water bottle and maybe at the beach or someplace and wish you had a place to put your keys, your money, your credit card? Well, they've got a nice little compartment on the water bottle. Just don't forget to take the water bottle home with you. $13, that's available. So kind of a cool way to lighten the load so you don't have to carry a wallet or something else. And this next item, I saw this. I got to have it. It's on my Christmas wish list. I actually passed this to my wife. My kids are big Doctor Who fans. And so they've kind of sucked me in recently. I've been watching a little bit of Doctor Who on Netflix. But they're selling a police public call box. Of course, you know what this police call box is for, right? For Doctor Who. And what's really cool about this, it's a little mini cooler. You can have a couple of sodas in there, some snacks and so forth. And this is a little mini fridge. It's available, $79. But I don't care about the fridge part. I just wanted to have it here as a talk piece. Very cool stuff. Little Doctor Who refrigerator. And so pretty slick stuff. I saw this. I actually, the other day I saw it. And I'm like, I want that. And I couldn't find the link to it. Someone had just put a picture on Google Plus. And today when I was doing the show notes search, doing the research for the show, I found this, found the link. So I'm pretty excited about it. All right. A missing moon rock has been found from Apollo 11. It's found in Minnesota. Apparently, the Minnesota National Guard said Monday it found a few small fragments of the moon's surface in a storage in a state building in St. Paul. They'll be turned over to the State Historical Society on Wednesday. The moon rocks came from Apollo 11. And so very interesting. Don't know how they were able to the President Richard Nixon gave them to the state along with a state flag that was carried on the mission. But at least they found the rocks. And they're pretty excited about that. So I guess whoever with this National Guard group found these. And I don't know exactly how, they don't explain how they found, but apparently these have surfaced and now these missing moon rocks are no longer MIA. Let me see here. If I can get in here, let me see if I can remember the email that I used. And I hope that was the password. Oh, no. Okay, let me try this. I'm trying to get into my account. All right. So let me see if I can do get a password reset here real quick. Because I know there's an email that has come in on one of the accounts. And I want to. Okay. Reset your password. So let me go there and do this. I want to really play this for you guys. I've got one more. Okay, yes. Key is invalid. How come you're doing that? Oh, this is like a double authentication thing here. All right. Let's try this again. Okay, so the new password I'm going to put in here right this time. I should have had this stored with my... All right, so let's change it. All right, so let's go back in. Let's see if it's going to let me get in here. Oh, it's going to make me sign in again. You've got to be kidding me. You should have let me in that first time. What I'm trying to do is someone went to the trouble of leaving a message on the website. Okay, here we go. It's not very long. And let me make sure the volume is turned up. Let me download this here. And we'll play it. So we'll see what someone had to say here. Here it goes. All right. You can tell that was really worth the time to waste you guys on it trying to find it. Oh, my goodness. That was horrible. I apologize. I promise I will... I'll have this stuff downloaded next time before we get in the show and previewed, because that was bad. Anyway, if someone tried to leave a message via SpeakPipe on the website, you just know it didn't get to me very well, okay? Oh, my gosh. All right, last article I want to talk about, and I get into the email here, is I did a demo. I'm really proud of my team over at Raw Voice. We put together... And basically have released a brand new stats interface for our podcasters. And I think the interface is beautiful. I think that Angelo has done a fantastic job on this. We had a couple of podcasters that were nice enough to allow me to use their accounts to demonstrate this. One was Daniel Lewis over at Once Upon a Time podcast, and Richard Hay from the Windows Observer podcast. Both have great shows. Richard's tech site is really taken off. He's doing a great job. He talks everything Windows on his show, obviously. But I did this demo, recorded it. It's like 12 or 13 minutes long, and really encourage you, if you want to see what we're doing and the kind of work we're doing for content creators, go check this out. I think you'll get a better appreciation of the level of commitment we've got in basically giving content creators detailed data on how their media is being consumed on their shows. And I just wanted to point that out here at the end of the show. I'm very thankful for my team and everything that they do. And this was a lot of hard work that was put into making that happen. So I've got some email, obviously, from all the way from last week's here. We did the last show on the 19th, so let me go ahead and talk about a couple of articles that came in, links that came in. Got an email here from Ron. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was watching my national news, and I found out about a planet that has no star, and this was found by accident. It was a research project looking for a white dwarf, unformed stars. And they found this object. More can be found here." So he's got a link to that. And I think we talked about that on the last show. But Ron, thanks for that. Got an email here from Wendy. Actually, not from Wendy. From Mayhew. It says, "Google's director of research talks with Wendy Grossman about his background in artificial intelligence, personal computer mapping, and what the internet giant is planning next." So I want to thank Mayhew for that link to that article. I appreciate that. Got an email here from Tim. He says, "Hey, Todd, absolutely amazing and truly a sign of the times. Brick and mortar sales are down." I think this article, Tim, may have been a little premature, because everything I'm hearing from the news is that the brick and mortar sales were up. But he says, "Serves them right for opening on Thanksgiving, in my opinion. While online sales rose a whopping 20%, this was an article on the Wall Street Journal. This must have been on Thursday sales, I would imagine. But thanks for sending that over, Tim. I also got an email from John. He sent this to me through Google Plus. He said, "Cyborgs, a bionic podcast, The Deadly Replay," and talks about a guy that has been given the opportunity to test pilot the very vehicle that caused an accident that he was in. So I'll have that link up in the show notes as well. So I appreciate those links coming in. Again, if you've got comments about tonight's show, Twitter me at geeknews. geeknews@gmail.com is a great way to reach me via email, of course. And of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. You'll get a good quality recording by just using the phone. So I appreciate all of you for being here. Thanks for hanging out. We're a little long tonight. but trying to get back in the rhythm of things. And, you know, we look forward to having a Thursday show with you. This Saturday, we'll have another Saturday Morning Tech. Then I'm off on travel for for 1 week. It'll be my last travel before we head to CES. Just to let you know, CES is shaping up. We're starting to book vendors. We've all the gear's been tested. I think we're all set on our layout. The only thing I've got left to do is order banners. I'm waiting for banner graphics to come back. And I think, you know, I think I'm really ahead planning wise from where I've been in years past. I'll get stuff ready to be shipped probably in the next week. But I'm really excited about what we're going to bring for you at CES. We've got a lot of things planned. I can probably say now that we're going to have ad-free streaming on the website, courtesy of the folks over at Livestream. So we'll be talking about that more as that develops. So we'll have embeds, of course, for all of our folks that are actually going to be doing the stream with us. And I'm pretty excited about the ability to work with the Livestream folks on ad-free streaming of the show. It should make the experience for all of you a lot better. And I really like the thought here that Livestream has stepped up in a big way to work with us. And I'm definitely appreciative for that. But that's continued conversation down the road. As always, geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter me at geeknews, 619-342-7365. Don't forget about our sponsors, Geek, GoDaddy, and GoTo Meeting. Definitely check their products out, do the trials, buy the product. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.